hello, and welcome back to the Lucky Girl Podcast, your go-to podcast for creating your dream life. I'm your host, Lexi Prieto, and I hope you're ready to enter your luckiest era ever. Good morning, Lucky Girls. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited to have you here. I am absolutely, like, I'm so excited to talk about this episode. I have been planning out this episode for the past couple of months. I've known I wanted to do an episode surrounding comfort and your comfort zone. I've known I wanted to do it for a very, very long time, but I have been planning and I have been walking the walk before I talk the talk. I have been doing my research and I'm very, very excited to get into it. I have missed you guys so much. Whenever I feel like I miss a week or I skip a week, I feel like I have so much to tell you guys about. And this episode is no different. Actually, it's very different from normal because I did some bucket list things and that I cannot wait to tell you about in the weekly recaps. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and get our social medias out of the way. If you want to follow the podcast Instagram, stay up to date on everything podcast. We talk about the weekly recaps. We talk about our lucky girl manifestations for the week. If I have any updates, any, you know, delays, or if I skip a week, I'll let you guys know beforehand. So you guys aren't here on Sunday and just not having an episode. So I always let you guys know on the Instagram. That's going to be at Lucky Girl Pod. That's LuckyGirlPod. Lucky Girl Pod. If you want to follow my life, the Lucky Girl's life, and stay up to date on everything that I do, you know I am chronically online and I love posting. I am obsessed lately with posting on Instagram. I feel like I lost my rhythm for a second, but I'm back. And if you want to follow that, it's going to be at Lexi G Prieto. That's LexiG Prieto. I also have a YouTube, a TikTok, and a Pinterest that are all that same handle. Once again, Lexi G Prieto. And to make it super duper easy for you guys, I have a Beacons link in my Instagram bio. So once you find my Instagram, you can click on that link and it'll send you to all of my other forms of social media. Now that we have all of that out of the way, let's get into this episode. I cannot wait. I am so excited. Let's hop in to our Lucky Girl segments. So if you are new to the Lucky Girl podcast, first of all, hi, welcome. Welcome to the family. I am so happy to have you here. We always do three Lucky Girl segments before the episode starts. The reason we do these segments is just so you get to know your host, aka me, a little bit better, because I love podcasts. And one of the reasons I started this podcast is because I noticed that a majority of my growth within my healing journey, within my journey period, was from podcasts. And something that I always loved and took from podcasts is how personable it felt at some points. You know, there's some podcasts that are just straight, like, this is the facts and that's it, which are great. Like, I love it. But sometimes that feels like school. Sometimes that feels like I'm getting a lesson from a teacher. And as fun as that is and how much I do enjoy learning, I love podcasts where you just get to know your host and it feels like you're just girl talking. And I've said this since episode one, all that I dream for this podcast is for it to feel like two best friends talking and us to just, you know, feel like we're giving each other advice and just to feel good. And I don't know why, but every single time I've ever had a really deep talk with any of my friends in the past, anybody who, like, I've ever had a deep talk with, it's always for some reason in a car. So that's what I want it to feel like, just to feel like we are having deep talks together. And I am a best friend and a hand to hold and somebody to be with you on this journey. So that's why we do the Lucky Girl segments, just so you know a little bit more about my life. I get to tell you guys what's going on with my life. It's just a little catch-up session. So we always start with the weekly recap. Guys, I'm so excited to tell you that I have officially reached a bucket list item that I have been talking about. I don't know if I've actually ever talked about it on the podcast, but I've been talking about it in my life for 3 years of something that I've wanted to do. I have this thing called a Lucky Girl Agenda Vision Book. So it's kind of like a vision board, but instead it's like a binder, and It has a whole bunch of topics of things that I want to achieve within the year. Last year, 2023, I had a goal list on that. And one of the goals was to go skydiving. And I've wanted to go skydiving for a very, very long time. It's not that I am an adrenaline junkie and I just want to do the craziest things possible. I have always thought that I want to go skydiving to prove to myself that I am brave, to prove to myself that things are not as scary as they seem, and to prove to myself that life is so much better once you fight the fear and do it anyways. And that's really what this episode is about, which I'm so excited to get into. But this precursor to this episode of going skydiving, it just felt so right. I went with my friend Cassandra. We went to Oceanside, which is right by San Diego. We went with Go Jump America. It was the most thrilling experience of my life. I kid you not. I didn't really feel scared until we were like right before we got in the airplane because, you know, like I was just, we had like an hour or two to kill. So me and Cassandra were just like sitting, they have a little waiting area. You're just sitting, watching the planes take off, watching people skydive. And you just have in the back of your head, like, that's about to be me. That's about to be me. So they call up our group next. We go to this little area, this like training area, I guess. And they put the harness on you. And even then I was not that scared. And I think it was because Cassandra was a lot more nervous than I was that I felt like I had to take on the role of like being the soother and being calm and being like, no, like it's going to be fun. Like you got this, because I didn't want her to back out. So I took on the role of being like, no, like we're good. We got this. Like, it's not scary. It's not scary. And I did feel like it wasn't that scary. Like that 2 hours, I wasn't really freaking out at all. They put the jumpsuit or the little harness thing on you. They're pulling all 27 bajillion straps. And you're like, oh God, like what if one of these straps just isn't strapped on right? And like you start thinking about these things. He gives you a 2-minute tutorial of what to do. He doesn't say, all he says, and I kid you not, this is the literal instructions that he gives you before you're about to jump out of this airplane, 13,000 feet in the air. He says, keep your head back and keep your feet back. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to do. Keep your head back and keep your feet back. Okay. Two things. That's it. Really? You don't have anything else? Any other safety things to tell me? That's all he tells you. Cool. Great. So as that is happening, we have about 10, 15 minutes until our instructors get there. I am jumping out of my skin. This is the first time I was actually like, oh my God, I'm about to jump out of an airplane. I'm about to skydive and I'm about to free fall for a little bit. Jumping out of my skin. And one thing you should know about me as the lucky girl is when I get nervous, this is so embarrassing. I dance. I'm like happy feet, honestly. Whenever I feel big emotions, I'll like dance, which is so silly. And it's like, I'm not saying I'm like busting a move and like doing like a whole like 16 count dance. I'll just like do a little shimmy here and there when I'm like really nervous. So I'm like with Cassandra and I'm like, ah, like freaking out with her. And I'm like shimmying and she's like, calm down, like you're fine. And I was like, wait, I'm scared. And then you see this very big group of instructors come out of a bus. They grab their packs and they start calling out names. And I was like, okay, whoo, really scared. First of all, I also want to say I was the last to get harnessed up. There was like, I think in total, it was like 10 of us or like 8 of us in total. I was the last to get harnessed up. And so I was watching my best friend get harnessed. I was watching all these strangers get harnessed. And then I was the last to get harnessed up. So now I'm nervous. And then this lovely man named Liam, so grateful that I had him as an instructor. He was the most handsome man I've ever met in my entire life. And I instantly was like, oh, okay. If I die right now, at least it's in the arms of a handsome man. But I was so nervous. He called my name and I was like, that's me. And I like jumped over to him and he was like, hi, like I'm Liam. I'm so excited. I hope you get ready. I hope you're excited. Like whatever. He was like, I got your back. And I was like, Liam, my dear Liam, what are the odds that we do a backflip? And he was like, odds are pretty good. And I said, Liam, my dear Liam, what are the odds that we do multiple backflips? I don't know what came over my brain. Like, I was scared in that moment, but I was like, I want to be the coolest person in this airplane. Like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And like, I think I'm a one-hit wonder. This is probably the only time I'm ever going to go skydiving. And I was like, if I'm going to go skydiving, I'm going to go skydiving. So I was like, what are the odds that we do multiple backflips? And he was like, just winked at me and he was like, I got you. I said, okay. And then Cassandra, she pipes in. She goes, Liam, what are the odds that I kick her out of the plane? And he was like, oh yeah, for sure. Like, let me just give you the signal and you could kick us out. So we get into this airplane, this little tiny, like, it looks like a crop plane. It's so small. We get in. There's like, I don't even know how to describe it. They're not really seats. There's like a railing on both sides and people sit with like their legs on each side of it. And you're sitting like literally like chest to back with everybody. I was one of the last ones to load. We sat on the floor. So we didn't even get the luxury of those railing seat things, whatever, benches, I guess you can call them. We're sitting on the floor. And obviously I'm strapped to Liam. Like I'm literally like, my back is to his chest and like, we're just chilling. And as we start going up in this airplane, it was about like a 10-minute flight because you're going 13,000 feet up in the air. There's another instructor beside us, and then there's the door. And the door is not like a door you close. It's like a little like shed door that you like roll down type thing. And the instructor beside us, he rolls it up as we're flying up. So now we are in an airplane with an open door. And I could not stop smiling. He got it on camera because he did film it. So I do have that vlog coming up soon, but he has it all on camera. I was smiling for the entire 10 minutes of that flight. I could not stop just thinking how excited and how lucky I was that I was actually achieving like a bucket list. And I think maybe it was just so surreal to me when we booked it and like all the planning and like we tried to do it one day and then we ended up not being able to do it. So we did it another day. And like all of this, it just didn't feel like it was actually happening until I was in the airplane with the door open, like strapped onto this man's like chest. And I'm just like looking at how beautiful the sky was and how beautiful the water was. Cause we were in Oceanside. So like the ocean is right there. And like, we're going through the clouds. And I just remember thinking, over and over, all I was thinking in my head is like, I am the luckiest person alive. I'm the luckiest girl alive. I am able to do this. I am able to achieve a dream. I am able to, you know, like make something that I've always wanted to happen. And I'm like, as I was going up, and I had told Cassandra this before we even like got strapped in, I was telling her, I was like, as I go up, I think we should like manifest our dream lives and like in our heads, like say all the things we're grateful for. And she was like, yeah. And like, we should also like say goodbye to things. Like as we go up, say all the things we're grateful for, all the things we want to do as we're free falling, say goodbye to the things that we no longer want to burden us, you know, like let them go, let them be free within the sky. And as I was thinking in a very spiritual way, as we were going up, I was like, this is the closest to the universe that I've been in a very, very long time. Like geographically, this is the closest I've been to the universe in a very long time. So as we're flying up in this plane, we're going above the clouds. I just am manifesting my dream life. I'm thinking about all of my mantras and all of the things that I want to carry with me and the things that I'm so grateful for. And I just kept on over and over again for 10 minutes. I was like, I'm grateful for my body. I'm grateful for my mind. I'm grateful that I'm healthy. I'm grateful for my friendships. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for the Lucky Girl podcast. Like, over and over again, even like the smallest things that might mean nothing, like that are so small, I was saying what I was grateful for. And one thing that really, really stuck with me that is really what this episode is going to be about is I was saying, I'm so, so grateful for the bad things that have happened in my life, for the things that were hard, for the things that pushed me out of my comfort zone, that made me feel like I was free falling, made me feel like I was spiraling, that it made me become a better person for it, that made me have better experiences for it. I kept on saying, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you so much, universe. I'm so grateful that I had to go through heartbreak, that I had to go through friendship breakups, that, you know, I had to be really scared at some points, and I've had to go through really hard things as a kid. And like, whatever it was, I was just thinking about, and like, you would think that if someone was like, oh yeah, I was just thinking about all the bad things that was happening into my life, you would be like, well, dang, like, isn't there more things that you should be thinking of? I was thinking about how grateful I was for those moments. And it just made me feel so alive and so free. So we get to 13,000 feet. The person beside us jumps. And then he literally, like, his, like, just body force, I don't do anything, he pushes us to the edge. My feet are now wrapped around the bottom of the plane. So my feet are out in the air. But we're still in the plane. And we got this on video. I did not see this because the one thing they tell you is keep your head back. So my head is like leaning on Liam's chest. But what we see in the video, he turns, says, all good, gives a thumbs up to Cassandra, and she kicks us out of the airplane. Literally, you see her foot kicking Liam out of the airplane. So we fall out of the airplane. And do you remember my request? My request was to do multiple backflips. And Liam had told me, the more you keep your head back, the more flips we can do. So my head was back. My head was back before we even jumped out of the plane. He jumps out of a plane, like, I go first, obviously, chest first. And then he flips us, like, to where he's, like, on his back, basically. He does not one, not two, but three backflips out of the plane. As this was happening, there's no thoughts in my head. No thoughts, head empty. Like, I'm literally just like, la, 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 la. Like, I'm falling out of a plane. But the one thing I do remember thinking is, this is so funny to me, as I'm backflipping three times, I just remember thinking, why can I see the plane? Why can I see the plane right now? Like, I can see the bottom of this plane right now. And then he gets us upright. And then he taps me, and like, that was the sign to, like, you can let go of, like, the harness, and you can just, like, move your hands, you can, like, blow kisses, like, whatever you want to do. Like, this is your time to just, like, do whatever you want. So he taps my shoulder, and I, like, let my arms go free. I'm blowing kisses to the camera, I'm doing hearts. Like, it was so fun. And you can see him in the background, like, smiling at me being stupid. And I was like, oh, I'm in love with this man. So it's about, I want to say it's like 15 or 20 seconds of free falling. And then he pulls the parachute. So we fly up. You know, when the parachute gets pulled, like, you literally get jolted up because you're, what is it, horizontal? Oh, yeah, horizontal to the ground. And then he pulls you and you're vertical. So I think that's right. I don't know. But anyways, so now we're, like, just gliding. And, you know, the parachute's pulled. I'm safe. Everything's good. And it's so quiet up there. You know, you're in the sky, you are within the clouds. We're still above the clouds at that point. And it's just me and Liam. And we were just talking, and he was like, how do you feel? And I was like, this is just the most insane experience of my entire life. And he was like, do you want to do something that I probably shouldn't do? And I was like, absolutely, I do. So he was like, we're going to collapse the parachute, which in hindsight is scary, terrifying. But basically, you collapse the parachute and you start free falling again. So he gives me the two little orange things that you hold on to that, like, maneuver the parachute. And he's like, pull down as hard as you can. Pull down as hard as I can. We, like, our feet get kicked out from under us. I'm looking up in the sky. Our parachute collapses. You can watch the parachute collapse. And then he takes it from me and, like, pulls it back up. And then, like, we're free falling, or we're just gliding again. And then it's like a good, it's like a minute in total is when you're in the sky. So then we've had about like 40 seconds to just like glide down. And just like, I was just taking in the view. I was looking around and I was just like, this is insane. Like, I cannot believe I'm doing this. And it's still at that point, even though I had just done three backflips off of an airplane, it still felt so unreal to me. And we were going through the clouds at one point, and he was like, look, look, a rainbow. And he like pulled our parachute to where we were gonna go through the rainbow. And we went through the rainbow and we like made it out on the other side of the clouds. We finally landed, and he looks at me and goes, I did a lot of illegal things that I should not have done with you. And I was like, no, what do you mean? And he was like, legally, we're only allowed to do one backflip. I did three. And I was like, and he was like, I shouldn't have collapsed the parachute. There was like another thing that I don't remember that he did, but yeah. So that, I don't know why I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, all of the things that are potentially like scary. I was like, yeah. And I literally told him before we went up on the plane, I was like, I want to be the coolest person on the plane. Like, whatever we have to do, we have to do, but I want to be the coolest person on the plane. And we sure as hell were. So we land, and then Cassandra lands, and I'm like, you can see it in Cassandra's video. I run up to her and I like tackle her in a hug, and I was like, we did it, we did it. But anyways, that was the best time of my life. That was the most surreal, insane experience. And what nobody tells you is afterwards, you want to throw up so bad because you have so much air in your stomach. And like, you just like, ugh, it was the skydiving was terrific. The car ride back was horrendous. I was like, I'm going to throw up. But anyways, that was my skydiving experience. And honestly, it was so cool. 10 out of 10. Probably won't do it again, but I'm very, very, very proud of myself for getting out of my comfort zone and being scared of something and doing it anyways. So that was my weekly recap. We went to Dave and Buster's afterwards. This entire week, I've really just been trying to find this gentleness again within my life, this continuity and, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable and trying new things and like bettering my routines. I've been really, really focused on bettering my routines lately. And today when I'm recording this the Thursday before it comes out, it is actually the first day of summer solstice. So happy summer solstice. It is the longest day of the year when I'm recording this, which is the perfect time to manifest and prioritize things because you have all the time in a day to manifest and prioritize. So that is what I'm planning today. Whenever I record on like some type of event, whether it be like a full moon, new moon, or like a solstice or anything, I always joke, which I don't joke because I actually do it, but I'm always like, might just fuck around and manifest dream lives for everyone that's listening. And that's true. I always feel like there's a little bit more witchy vibes in every episode that I do when something in the sky is happening while I'm recording. But that was my week. Moving on to my lucky girl obsessions. I have two obsessions that I cannot. I know skydiving should be an obsession because it was so cool. The experience itself was just absolutely insane. But one of my obsessions is Klatch Coffee. When I was writing this episode outline out, I was at Klatch Coffee and they had the most insane matcha. It was so good. And I got a turkey pesto sandwich that was insane too. And it was so good. And I literally immediately, as I took the first bite, I was like, lucky girl obsession, Klatch Coffee, because it was just so, so, so good. And my second obsession is my fashion. I am getting back into being a fashion girly. I don't know why I felt like I lost myself for a second of like trying different pieces and once again, getting out of my comfort zone and trying new things. And, you know, I think something within my fashion that I've always been revered for in my personal life that a lot of people, when I was like 17, when I'm 20, 22, like throughout the years when I was really like into my fashion, people would always say like, I like your fashion because it's not what everybody else does. You know, like you try different things and like, it's me just genuinely getting out of my comfort zone and trying new things. So I've really been finding my passion within that again. So those are my two lucky girl obsessions of the week. Moving on to the what has made me feel lucky segment. This is again, a moment. I know last episode we had a moment as well. And this is a moment in my life that I was like, I'm going to remember this forever. And I already talked about it in the weekly recap, but it was going up in the plane. It was just like, I talked about it in the last episode. So I'm just going to give you like a brief recap. The way that I see my life, the way that I remember my life is in little montage moments. I'm reading the book 101 Essays to Change the Way You Think by Brianna Weiss. And she has said in one of the essays, she had said, how beautiful is it that our lives are comprised of little love stories? And I thought that was so beautiful. And I was like, that's exactly how I think of my life in my montage moments. And going up in the plane is like a moment that I'd hope I never, ever, ever forget. Because as I was going up, and I already told you this, I was manifesting and I was just looking at this most beautiful view that I've ever seen. And it was just stunning. And it's like, you're above the clouds at that point. And you're just seeing like, the world looks so small from up there. And you're just like, wow, anything is possible in life. Like, I was about to go skydiving, something I've wanted for years. Anything is possible in life. Even though it's terrifying, even though it's so scary, anything is possible in life. And that was genuinely the moment that I felt the most lucky. And a close, close second is running to Kaz when we landed, because there was nothing more, like, I've never had an experience more of girlhood or like just like pure friendship and pure love than doing something utterly terrifying, jumping out of an airplane and then watching your best friend land right behind you and running up to her and tackling her in a hug and being like, we did it, we did it. And it was just like, I don't think I've ever felt that type of bliss. And it was just so beautiful. And I was so lucky to experience it, not only to experience it, period, but to be able to experience it with somebody that I hope is going to be in my life for a very long time, and to experience it with a friend and somebody that I trust and somebody that I love. It was such an amazing experience. It was so cool. But now that we have our Lucky Girl segments out of the way, it is time to get into possibly one of my favorite episodes that I have ever done, one of my favorite topics that I have been waiting to share with you guys. Because this topic genuinely will change your life. I want you to listen close. I want you to take notes. I want you to get excited for episode 44. Your comfort is killing your dreams. How giving up might actually be what you need. Alrighty, lucky girls. So let's get into this episode. Let's talk about comfort. Let's talk about comfort zones. Let's talk about why comfort might actually just be a killer. So the first question that I had written down that I want you to take a second, think about, and try to figure out is, why do you crave comfort? Now, I'm going to hit this in a very psychological way before I let you know in a very like spiritual way. Why do we crave comfort? So first things first, it's not that we really crave comfort. It's that we really crave safety. And going back for millions and millions of years throughout evolution, all that a human has ever craved is safety. And the reason why we crave this comfort is because we crave this safety. And we have learned that comfort is synonymous to safety. Why is that? Why is comfort synonymous to safety? Why do we feel like if we're comfortable, then we're safe? Because the truth behind it is there's never a true safe moment in your life. You know, at any point, anything could happen. So why do we feel like when we're comfortable, why do we feel like we are the safest? Well, to do that, you have to look into your brain, psychology, the way your brain is made up, and talk about the fight or flight response. So for the fight or flight response, once your brain is in this fight or flight response, and this happens when we get uncomfortable, this happens when we try new things, this happens when we go through something that we've never experienced before, your anxiety raises because you begin to think of the things that can go wrong. Because when you're comfortable, you know that there's a very low chance of things going wrong because you've done it before. You're comfortable. You are set in this routine. Like, for example, when you get home from work and you lay in bed and scroll on TikTok, that's a really low risk thing to do because you're safe, or as safe as you can be. You're safe. You're scrolling on TikTok. You're just spending time. Like, you're fine. You're safe. But say you go home. Instead of scrolling on TikTok, you go to the gym and then you spend an hour or two planning out your next moves to get to your dream life. That's a little bit of a higher risk, right? Because you have to go out, go to the gym. There's a risk of you like hurting yourself at the gym. There's a risk that you might be embarrassed at the gym. There's a risk you might run into somebody at the gym. Whatever like your fears or your anxiety are surrounding the gym, like, you go there, you have that risk. You go home, you start figuring out steps to reach your dream life. That's also a higher risk because you're not just scrolling on TikTok like nothing's gonna happen. You're making moves to further your life. You're making moves to step out of your comfort, because in order to grow, and I wrote this in capital letters that I wanted to say, that if it doesn't challenge you, it will not change you. So you can't grow if you're just still. So once you have, you're starting to do these things, you're starting to do the things that maybe have you out of your comfort zone and are scary, but like are gonna help you. That's when you realize that comfort actually isn't really a thing, and comfort actually isn't really what we desire or what we crave. What we crave is safety. What we crave is not fearing things. And when you live in a life of like low risk, low reward, like you're just here, like it's fine, just take the time, scroll on TikTok, go to bed, wake up, work, scroll on TikTok, go to bed. Low risk, but it's low reward. So let's talk about what high risk, high reward is. High risk, high reward is the exact opposite of that. It's fighting for your dreams. It's fighting for things that maybe sound scary to you. And I want to let you know, you are so not alone in life, because this is me. This is genuinely me to a T of like, you have your dream life. You have the things you want to do. You have the things that you desire to experience, but you never do them. And you get frustrated with yourself. You're like, oh, I just procrastinate. No, it's because you're scared. And getting past that is realizing that it might be a high risk. You might embarrass yourself. You might fail a couple times. But if you don't give up and you keep trying, it's a high reward. You will get to your dream life and you will continue on to the path of your highest self. And that is what truly is the most important in killing your comfort zone and giving up on being so comfortable that you stay stagnant. Because Brianna Weiss says it in, once again, 101 Essays to Change the Way You Think so well. She says that familiar discomfort feels the same as comfort. And that one quote, that couple of words, I think that means so much. And it's so true. Familiar discomfort sometimes feels like comfort because, once again, you are frustrated that you're not going anywhere in life. You haven't reached any of your dreams. And then you take a step back and you realize that like, it's because you're not fighting for anything. It's because you're not going, you're not doing anything. And that's the familiar discomfort of like every single day you're frustrated with yourself because you're not doing anything, but you're not doing anything. So get into this discomfort that maybe is not familiar of actually trying something and risk failure and risk being embarrassed and trying it anyways, because once you start getting into that, it'll eventually become a routine and it won't feel as scary as it was before. And the point of life and the point of a good life is you constantly are leveling up. You are constantly doing more and more and more and more and more. And eventually this fear that you once had no longer feels like a fear. Like, for example, in my life, one of my biggest fears was my future. I was so scared. I had known that I wanted to have a podcast. I had known that I wanted to be a content creator. I had known that like I wanted to help people since I was like 17, 18, younger than that. Since I was like 13, I knew I wanted to be a content creator. But like I knew my purpose was to help people like 17, 18. I spent from being 17 years old to being 21, I spent that gap in my years wanting this, but not fighting for it. Because I was scared of the uncomfortability that would come from it. I was scared of failure. I was scared, what if I do this and nobody listens? What if I start something and like it backfires? Like whatever. It was so scary. And then my breakthrough at 21 when I started this podcast a year ago was, it's not for me. This is not for me. I created this podcast to help other people. And if one person doesn't like the podcast, that's fine. I'm not their cup of tea. But there's other people that love it. And we are reaching so many milestones. Within the past couple of months, we've reached the most insane milestones that I never even thought was possible. When I had one download, I was like, oh my God, who downloaded the podcast? Now we're about to hit 5,000. And not even we're about to hit 5,000. The velocity of which we are hitting 5,000 means we're about to hit 10K, like really quick. And it's like the most insane, surreal experience when you realize that it's like hard work does pay off, but it's also getting the fuck out of your comfort zone and realizing that if I had stayed that girl who wanted but was scared, I don't know where I would be at today, but I know I wouldn't be happy. I know I wouldn't be doing what I love. I know I wouldn't be helping people. And it's like these messages that I receive from the listeners of the podcast of like, you're changing my life. You have helped me so much. Those I will take with me for the rest of my life because I know my purpose is being fulfilled in whatever capacity. Even if, you know, like 5,000 feels small right now, and I obviously have much, much bigger dreams and goals for the podcast, 5,000 downloads is insane. And we're getting there. Like, we're probably within this month, maybe the beginning of next month, we will be there. And that's just such an insane feeling. And I would not be there if I didn't fight my comfort. So that moves into our habits. Let's talk about why habits contribute to your failures. Obviously, we know bad habits equals bad momentum in life. You know, like, you pick up a bad habit, you're not living as your highest self. You're not creating the best scenarios for your life. But let's talk about good habits. You know, let's talk about how, just the same as bad habits, trying to be perfect, trying to do everything right, will kill you as well. Too much of a good thing will kill your dreams, because you are neglecting balance, which is such a big thing. And it's something that I really, really am learning in life. And my entire adulthood, I have been learning in all of my early 20s, is balance and not being frustrated with myself when I feel like I'm doing something, quote, unproductive, because I know that it's helping me rest and restore and regenerate and get ready to do something more. So habit stacking is a really, really, really big part to this. When you habit stack, you create goals and you create little tiny ways, little tiny wins every single day that makes you feel more capable. And you're also slowly and in any capacity fighting your comfort. Say you want to start moving your body more. So, and this is a true story. This is what I did. I remember I was like, I want to start moving my body more, and I want to start moving my body more in the morning. So like, I wake up and just, I feel refreshed. So I started habit stacking. I started waking up a little bit earlier. And after I felt comfortable with waking up earlier, I started waking up a little bit earlier. And then I started going for a walk outside before I ate breakfast. Once I started doing that repetitively and it felt like second nature to me, I started waking up earlier, going for a walk outside, coming back, cooking breakfast, meditating. So now that I have all these habits, I have this healthy routine that I've created. Now, how am I going to keep on bettering it? How am I going to keep on working towards making it better and like finding and filling in the ways in which that I don't like, I'm not happy with, you know? So first you stack all these habits that you're happy with, these new things that you enjoy, and then you start taking things away that you no longer enjoy. One thing for me was screen time. I was on my phone constantly. I wanted to do less of screen time. So I decided that like I had to read at least like 10 or 15 pages before I would get on my phone. And that got me to read some amazing books that have helped me further my life. And it's like, once you create these habits, you create these stacks and you learn what balance is, that's when you realize that like comfortability is really what you make it. Because sure, I was comfortable when I would go home from work and get on TikTok and just go to sleep. I was sure that was comfortable for me. But I'm so much more comfortable now that I move my body, now that I choose peace, now that I prioritize my brain and my mental health. That's also comfortable. You have to realize which comfortable you are most comfortable with, you know? And it's like, it's such a weird topic to really like discuss and talk about, because obviously comfortability is all based on how you perceive it. And you have to desperately want to do more. You have to want to be better. You have to want to grow in order to be uncomfortable for a short period of time in order to be comfortable again. And that's the gap between your dream, where you're at now, and your dream life. That gap of uncomfortability. Because right now, I'm sure you are, if not comfortable, you are in comfortable uncomfort. Remember what it's called? Familiar discomfort. Like, once you're in this familiar discomfort, it feels a lot like comfort. And you might not be completely comfortable because you want more in life and you're in this familiar discomfort. But the gap between getting to a place where you reach your dreams, you reach your goals, and you find a new form of comfort that will feel entirely different than the ones that you feel now, is that gap of discomfort. Being utterly uncomfortable, trying something new, failing, being scared, doing it anyways. That is the biggest takeaway to this episode, is be scared, but do it anyways. Be, you know, skydive, literally like this, like skydive into your dream life, because I was so scared. I was so terrified, and I did it anyways. And it was the best experience of my life. And it was so insane. And that moves me into this next topic that I wanted to talk about, that I I think this is the biggest thing. A lot of people talk about how all of the breakthroughs they've ever had, they have had to first have a breakdown, which is true for a lot of people. Like, in order to break through, a lot of the times we have to reach our boiling point, because psychologically, humans, we don't have a limit when it comes to pain. We can feel pain and feel pain and feel pain in different ways and at the same time. But what we do have is a limit to happiness. And Brianna Weiss calls this the upper limit. This is how much you allow yourself to be happy before you start self-sabotaging, because you get scared. You're like, oh, wait, this is not normal. This is a new discomfort for me, even if it's a good thing. You know, obviously you're happy, but it's like, this is a discomfort for me because I've never been this happy. And as humans, once we find this happiness, we start thinking about all the things could go wrong, because once again, we crave safety. And you're in this new part in your life that you've never been through. You've never been this happy before. You've never had this much good in your life. You start thinking like, how safe really am I? How safe is this? How safe is this in my grasp? Because what can happen to make this go away? So how you get to your dream life, this is the biggest thing. We are going to talk about why getting thoroughly pissed off might just be what you need. Why genuinely just screaming, why? Just genuinely being angry. And once again, Brianna Weiss talks about this in another book of hers called The Mountain Is You, of sometimes you have to reach your rock bottom before you can start rebuilding. And there comes a time where your breakdown happens, where you're on the floor and you're crying and you're like, I don't like how I'm living my life. What is happening to me? I'm frustrated. I'm angry at myself. I want to change. I need to change. It goes from that want of being like, when before you're at rock bottom, sure, like you would want to do whatever you want, but you're comfortable, right? You're comfortable just living your life. Just, this is like the biggest word for me that every time I think about it, I'm like, I cannot live my life like that, is coast. I don't want to just coast through life. So you're comfortable with coasting through life for this time. And then something happens. And this is the universe's hand in all this. I truly believe that some, the universe whispers until it has to scream. So the universe tells you all the time, like, you can do more. There's opportunities. You just have to fight your comfort zone. And I'm such, oh my God, I am such a hypocrite, because genuinely I see the universe's signs. I see that more needs to happen in my life. But I get so scared and I stay with my comfortability because I'm scared of the things that could happen. I'm scared of the ways that I can fail. But I have an amazing track record, and I'm sure you do as well. I'm 100% sure, actually, that you have survived 100% of your bad days. The days that you felt like everything was going wrong. There's been times in my life when I went through my first like serious breakup that I was literally sobbing on the floor, thinking, how could something hurt this much? Thinking, oh my God, this is so painful. Like, I'm never going to recover from this. Like, I didn't know my heart could hurt like this. To where I'm at now and jumping out of an airplane and like having these dream moments and surviving and just living. And it's like, sometimes you have to get to that. You have to get to that breakdown. I really think that, and we've talked about this in other episodes a lot, and I think this really was just my catalyst. This was my breakdown, shifted my life in such a insane way, because it made me look inside myself so deeply and see, do I like who I am? Do I enjoy the things I'm doing? Am I in the right place in my life? And can I do more? Am I good with just being stagnant or just coasting? Or do I want to do more? And it genuinely was the biggest shift in my life, is it just turned me around. And I stood up, and all of a sudden, like, I was in this daylight and it felt new and I felt better. And I was like, I have so much more potential than I had ever realized before that, because I realized that, like, I am genuinely so capable of things that I never thought I would be. So it's like, you have to genuinely get pissed off at yourself and just be like, I'm so tired. You have to be on the ground, sobbing on the floor, just being like, I don't deserve this. Think of yourself almost as a third person being like, Lexi does not deserve this. I do not deserve this. I deserve so much better. And then you stand up and you start fighting for yourself. You start becoming that protector for yourself. And the way you fight for yourself is by being uncomfortable and trying new things and fighting for a better life. And at first it is going to be terrifying. At first it is going to feel like nothing is going right. At first it's going to be like, I'm so new at this. I feel like I'm doing everything wrong. And you might just be doing everything wrong. But eventually you'll get it. Eventually you'll get the hang of it. Within getting like thoroughly pissed off at yourself, there has to come a moment when you look in the mirror, and I want you to do this genuinely. If you're ready to get into your next, like your higher self, you're ready to get to where you need to go, I want you to look in your mirror and say this right now. Because at some point you finally stand up and just realize this. You just got to say, hey, I'm a good person, or at least I'm trying to be. And God damn it, I deserve better than what I've let myself settle for. And I want you to say that with your chest, because once you go through that, once you realize like, I deserve so much better than what I've been giving myself, what I've let myself settle for, whether it be a relationship, whether it be a circumstance, whether it be like a career or whatever. If you're not happy, this is not your place. You are not meant to be there. Stand up and say, I deserve more than that. And that brings us into this next topic, which is the things that we will give up in order to get to more, in order to get to what we really want. So there are a couple things that I want to give up in order to reach my dream life, in order to seek that discomfort, in order to find a better peace. The first thing is limiting beliefs. Give up on anything that you feel is limiting you, whether it be like, oh, I'm not in the right place, or like whatever. Give it up. It's not important. Limiting beliefs will always, always deter you from your dream life. Sometimes you just have to realize that you hold the reins in life. You choose what you do in life. And sometimes it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. What matters is your drive. What matters is that you want this and you are willing to make it work. The second thing that we're giving up is outer world validation. Stop caring about what other people think. And this is, once again, I'm such a hypocrite for this, but giving up on what other people think has been so freeing for me. And it's something that I'm just now learning and growing. And I still struggle with sometimes, but it's like, you realize that genuinely everything that anybody has ever said about you, anything that anyone has ever thought about you, it has gone through a filter of what they first think about themselves and what they think is true beauty, or what they think is true kindness, or what they think is true, like how a person is supposed to act, whatever it is. That's their prerogative. That's their filter of what they're supposed to go through. But you realize this, and you realize that it's so skewed and it's so unimportant that other people just do not matter to you. And that moves us into our third one. You have to, and I mean, you have to give up on stagnant comfort over forward motion. Give up on feeling comfortable. Give up on being like, oh yeah, like it's fine. I'm safe. I'm not trying anything scary. I'm not failing anything. I'm not, you know, risking looking stupid. Give up on that. Once you allow yourself to look stupid, you allow yourself to fail, or even the chance to fail, that's when you realize that that's forward motion. You're growing. So before we end out this episode, I have a lucky girl assignment that I want for you guys. And this is why I said take notes, because I want you to have a pen and paper, or on your notes app, I want you to answer this assignment as best you can. And I want you to really take from this. So the assignment is, I want you to write out three things that you think lucky you, which as we know, we call lucky you as like the dream version of yourself, the person who has your dream life, the person that has everything you've ever wanted in your life. That version of you, future you, lucky you. I want you to write out three things you think lucky you wouldn't do that you are currently doing in your life. And once we write these down, it's time to figure out ways that we can stray away from that. And it's going to make us uncomfortable. It is genuinely going to make us so uncomfortable, because we have found comfort in our routines and doing this. But I want you to write three things that you are currently doing that lucky you would not do. And I wrote down my three, and I will share them with the class. So the first one is harping on old hurt. This is such a big one for me. The amount of times that I've genuinely had like make-believe conversations with people that have hurt me, and just being like, you hurt me, and like, these are the reasons why you hurt me. It's so unhealthy. It's so unhelpful to my future self, to lucky you, because they're never going to hear it. The only person that's hearing like, hey, I was hurt because X, Y, and Z over and over again, and having these fake conversations over and over again, is me. I'm the only one hearing, like, you hurt me so bad. This is why you hurt me. This is why I'm hurt. Like, eventually you have to realize, like, everything happens for a reason. And that hurt, as much as it did hurt, like, it happened for a reason. And I'm a better person for it. I've had so many fake conversations with, like, my mom or, like, my dad or, like, whatever situation. The people that have hurt me in my life of trying to prove to them. These are all, like, in my head, by the way. Like, these are not, like, I'm not even telling them. Like, there's nothing, like, helpful to this because they're not learning anything. I'm not telling them anything. It's all within myself of being, like, I'm so hurt. You hurt me so much. What is the use of harping on that? What is the use of staying within this hurt and being like, I'm angry, I'm angry? They're not even seeing it. They're living their own life. So it's like, give up on that. Stop trying to prove to them that you are hurt. That is another big thing, is stop trying to prove to somebody that hurt you that they hurt you. I'm sure they know. I am positive they know. The difference is that they are no longer in your orbit to care. Like, it is not about them. They are no longer in your life. Moving on to the second one that I wrote down is procrastinating. Very, very bad at this. And I get so frustrated with myself. And it's, once again, my breakdown before my breakthrough of just being like, Lexi, God damn it, I deserve better than this. Like, stand up. Procrastinating, just genuinely like waiting and taking forever to do something, knowing that it's going to help me, knowing it's going to further my life and into my lucky self and into my dream life. I just take forever on it, and I want to stop doing that. And the third thing, and the final thing, this is such a big, 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 big thing for me, is I want to stop avoiding hurt. Because throughout so long in my life, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, for so long in my life, I had thought that I wasn't allowed to have negative emotions because I was the spokesperson for, like, life is good if you make it good. And that's still true. I still am that. But it's like, I had this skewed idea of, like, the only way to make life good is to only ever be happy. It's to only ever, like, have these positive, quote, positive emotions and let these, quote, negative emotions, like, never interfere. I would never show my hand, never show my face. I would never show that I was going through hurt, or I'd never show that I was angry or frustrated or whatever, because I was like, I don't want people to think that, you know, like, I'm not as happy as I am. But the truth is, first of all, negative and positive emotions don't exist. Like, there's no skew of, like, what a negative emotion is, because hurt and anger and frustration, what we have coined as negative emotions, they're actually incredibly helpful. And they're actually the stepping stones to getting to that happiness. You know, you can't have just pure happiness all the time, because then that is your baseline and then you're not even happy. So genuinely, truthfully, I want to stop avoiding hurt. I want to look deep into myself, being like, why am I hurt? How can I help myself feel the hurt? Don't fuel the hurt, and then just move on and let that hurt be a stepping stone. So I want you to write out the three things that you think lucky you wouldn't do that you're currently doing, and then write out steps that you can start letting go of those things, you know? With that being said, that is the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I had so much fun talking to you guys. We are almost an hour in. My episodes keep getting longer and longer. I hope you guys are enjoying it, though. Make sure to leave a 5-star rate and review on the podcast and the Lucky Girl question of the day, other than your Lucky Girl assignment, because I do want you to fill that out, is, once again, what has made you feel lucky this week? I love you. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next Sunday with a brand new episode of the Lucky Girl Podcast. Have the best week ever. And remember to always, always, always stay lucky.